I was on the airplane a few weeks ago on my way home. The sight of me was a magazine open to an article that intrigued me. It was entitled, "The Doubting," then the name of a country, "A Growing Breed." Its message was that belief, the energizer of progress, and the cement of civilization, since the dawn of history, is running into trouble. People no longer have faith in their governmental leaders. They think business does not have the integrity it once had. And even more alarming, a survey indicated that less have a feeling in regard to their obligation to religion. The conclusion to the questions asked on religion was that organized religion is not playing a central role in the lives of a sizable portion of the unchurched. They feel that they can go it alone. And then it pointed out that young people made replies like this: "Why should I do something good for another person? Why should I not steal? Why should I not commit adultery? Why should I honor my father or my mother?" I guess it would only be natural in a world beset by one major problem after another that fears and doubts would trouble the souls of mankind. How contrary, however, is the lesson of history that man within himself cannot solve his problems. How fallacious is the thinking that a person can be a law unto himself. How wrong is the belief that each individual could establish his own moral code, or his own standard of honesty, or his own principles to be governed by. I have not found in the course of history a record recording the success of any peoples who lived under such a system. In fact, history has recorded just the opposite, that those who have a standard of values, a central belief, a uniting together, have experienced the greatest progress. Religious history of mankind has demonstrated the success of those people who were strong enough to follow a standard not just made by man. From the very beginning, prophets have encouraged mankind to seek a higher kingdom, the kingdom of God. We find in the early pages of the Book of Mormon, Nephi warning the people this way: "And he commanded all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having a perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God." John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, preparing the way for the mission of our Lord and Savior, cried to the people, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As the church was restored to the earth in this dispensation, the people were admonished to assist in building the kingdom of God here on earth, preparing for the return of our Lord and Savior. Brigham Young addressed the saints this way: "The kingdom of God which we are establishing is not of this world, but is the kingdom of the great God. It is the fruit of righteousness, of peace, of salvation to every soul who will receive it, from Adam down to his last posterity. Our goodwill is towards all men. We desire their salvation in time and eternity, and we will do them good so far as God will give us power and man will permit us that privilege." Then he invited the saints by saying, "Come then, ye saints. Come then, ye honorable men of the earth. Come then, ye wise, ye learned, ye rich, ye noble, according to the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of the great Jehovah. from all nations and kindreds and kingdoms and tongues and peoples and dialects on the face of the whole earth, and join the standard of Emmanuel, and help us build the kingdom of God and establish the principles of truth, life, and salvation. Surely, there would be an obvious difference as we would look around our fellow men between one who would strive to conduct his life as though he were a citizen of the kingdom of God and one who would conduct his life by the standards of just man. When a person determines to live a higher law, there should be a visible difference, a marked change in his appearance, his actions, the way he treats others, the way he serves his fellow men and his God. The scriptures are full of stories of dramatic changes that have occurred in lives of individuals when they are converted to the law of the Lord. There is a story in the Book of Mormon about a conflict occurring between the believers and unbelievers. It became so severe that the people went to their chief high priest, Alma, and he in turn went to King Messiah to ask that a proclamation be made throughout the land that the unbelievers should not persecute those who were following the Church of God. Now, the sad part of this story is that the sons of Messiah, the king, were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma, the chief high priest, was numbered among the unbelievers. He was a very wicked man, a man of many words, and he did speak much flattery to the people and led the people to follow after his ways of iniquity. He became a great hinderment to the prosperity of the Church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among them. Alma's father must have been very concerned about his son, and he prayed mightily to the Lord to have him forsake his wicked ways. As Alma the younger went about his way of rebellion, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and the sons of Messiah, and spake to him as with a voice of thunder. And so great was their astonishment. Now you can imagine that, an angel appearing to you and calling you to repentance, that they fell to the earth. And the angel commanded Alma, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth. For why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord hath said, This is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it be the transgression of my people. Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, who is thy father. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to a knowledge of the truth. Alma, after this startling announcement from the angel, was so shocked that he fell again to the earth, became dumb, became so weak he could not move his limbs, and had to be carried and laid before his father. And those who carried him in rehearsed the things that had happened to him. Alma's father rejoiced, for he knew it was from the Lord. And he caused his priests to be assembled, and they fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and 2 nights, that Alma would receive the strength in his limbs and receive his speech. After such a display of faith, Alma received his strength and stood before the assemblage and said, I have repented of my sins. I have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people must be born again, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness. Alma's life changed. From this time, we find the scriptures recording that he went forth not to destroy the church, but to build it up. and he became a mighty leader in the land. Now we find him declaring, I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of the Lord to bring some souls to repentance. And this is my joy. Conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ requires us to live a higher law. From there on, we must conduct ourselves as citizens in His kingdom. President Stephen L. Richards once defined the attributes we need to be such a citizen. The attributes of Jesus are the standards of perfection in human living: kindness, sympathy, tolerance, mercy, forbearance, charity and judgment, loyalty, justice, integrity, and abiding love are Christian virtues that lie at the foundation of the idealism of the race. These are incomparable concepts of the good neighbor, doing unto others as you would be done by, and the abundant life, losing oneself in the service of others that he may find it, are the soundest and truest philosophies in the society of men and the way to happiness. We have an obligation, when we accept the teachings of the gospel, to demonstrate by our lives that we will keep God's commandments. We know His Son, Jesus Christ, stands at the head of this church, and that mankind has not been left alone to find his way in this world. There is great joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment in living God's law as he has declared it, and will continue to declare it to his children here on earth. The scriptures have instructed us to live that higher law. Again, Nephi declared, wherefore we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and of all men. And behold, my brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven by which mankind can be saved in the kingdom of God. God lives. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. His kingdom will prevail. The greatest joy we can find on this earth is conforming our lives to His law, is my witness to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.